Amen. Wonderful. Well, it's encouraging, isn't it, to see young people serving the Lord? And I'm really thrilled about being here on this special day, this back-to-school Sunday. You know, there are seasons in life. I've lived long enough now to realize something, and that is no season lasts forever. The seasons come and the seasons go. My wife said to me the other day, she said, I think we're going through as much change right now at one time as we've ever gone through at one time. And I think that's right. Our youngest child, our son Grant, just turned 16 a week ago, got his driver's license. Would you pray for me, please? And then our middle daughter, Lauren, is going, just gotten back to college, and she'll graduate in May. Our oldest daughter will also graduate college this coming year. And Morgan is getting married in January, unless Jesus comes or I kill her fiance between now and then. We're trying to work that out, but it's a new season. That's a new season for us. Next week, I'll turn 45, and I'm starting to realize that nothing lasts but Jesus. He's the same. Thank God he's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. But the reality is, everything else in the world changes. The old hymn writer said, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. And at this particular season, you're beginning a brand new school year, and things are changing, of course, in our nation and in our world. I have found that this is the time to go back to first principles. This is the time to go back to what you know for sure. And with that in mind, I want you to open the Word of God with me today to the Gospel according to John. And I'd like you to find John chapter number 1. You know there are four gospel records. One gospel, of course. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But four records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like four sides of this podium I'm speaking behind today. It's the same podium, but there are different sides of it, different angles to it. And each of the four gospel writers describes for us the same Christ. There's only one Christ, and yet we have these four descriptions. And they're powerful. As a matter of fact, in the last few months, I've started doing something. Maybe you've been doing it all along. I try, of course, to read something from God's Word each day, but I have been trying to read something from the gospel records every day. Because I discovered something. I discovered if I read from the gospel records every day, it keeps my heart warm towards the Lord Jesus. I have a friend in Canada that writes me pretty regularly, and he always closes his email the same way. He always closes with this one expression, walk by Calvary once every day. I like that. That's very good advice. And most recently, I've been reading in the gospel according to Mark. I like Mark. I went through it two or three times here recently, and it just did my heart good. How many of you have a favorite gospel record? I'm just curious. You have a favorite. Let's take a survey, shall we, just for fun. How many of you would say Matthew's your favorite, the first one? Matthew, all right, two or three. Poor Matthew. We need to recruit some for Matthew. How many of you would say Mark? I think that's my favorite. Anybody say Mark? Good. How about Luke? You just like going to the doctor. Anybody? All right, he was a physician. How many of you would say John? Good, and that's perhaps the most famous. How many of you never read the Gospels? Would you raise your hand? You got to pick one. I had a teacher in college who used to say his favorite was whichever one he was reading at the time. That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? It's all the Word of God. But I draw your attention today to John chapter 1, and in fact, I'll be back here in the evening meeting, different message, same text. So if you want to mark your place in Scripture, we'll come right back to it tonight. Look at John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want you to do something. Would you do something for me? Take out a pen somewhere. Get something to write with. I want you to mark an expression in these verses. It's found not once, but twice. It is, in fact, the first three words of John's Holy Spirit-inspired letter. These three words, in the beginning. And then again, would you mark it in verse 2? The same was in the beginning. Say those three words with me, would you? in the beginning. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all take us back to certain points in history. They take you to Abraham, or they take you to John the Baptist, or they take you all the way to Adam. John's different. John, who wrote last, takes you all the way back to the beginning. The oldest psalm in the Bible, written by Moses, Psalm 90, said, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." The word everlasting literally means vanishing point. So watch. From vanishing point to vanishing point, he is God. You can back all the way up to the beginning, before the creation, before Eden, before Adam and Eve, before there was anything, guess who was there? God was there. He is the everlasting God. And you can fast forward all the way to the end of time when this world burns up and everything is gone. Guess who will still be here? God will be here. Because he is the eternal God. He is not in time. Time is in him. He holds time in the palm of his hand. He is the eternal God. And the Bible says if you go all the way back to the beginning, God was at work. In fact, it's a direct reference to the creation. In verse number 3, he references all things being made by him. So let's do this. Hold your place in John 1. Everybody put your right hand in John 1. We're coming right back. And I want you with your left hand to go all the way back to the beginning of your Bible, to Genesis 1 for a moment. Fascinating to me to compare Scripture with Scripture and see how all the parts make the whole. You got Genesis 1 on one hand, John 1 on the other. And like parallel sides of a train track laid alongside one another but moving in the same direction, they teach us the same great truth about our God. Look at Genesis 1 and verse 1. And what's the three words that begin the whole Bible, church? Read them with me. Ready? In the beginning. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anyone? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So you got the God of beginnings in Genesis 1, and you've got the God of new beginnings in John 1. You can take the first five verses of the Old Testament, lay them alongside the first five verses of John's gospel record, and you get a picture. What do you get a picture of? You get a picture of the God who is the God of new beginnings. Every good thing finds its beginning in our great God. It's the first three recorded words of Scripture. It's the first great revelation about himself. You say you want to know God? That's why you're here. You want to know God? All right, here's the first thing God reveals about himself in Scripture, that every good thing finds its start in him. And I don't know about you, but in a world that is deteriorating because of sin right now, in a nation that seems to be decaying and coming apart at the seams, in a generation that seems to be falling apart, and in a body that is aging, I am so glad today that the God of the Bible is the God of new beginnings. That the same God who worked in Genesis 1 worked in John 1. And the same God that worked in Genesis 1 and John 1 is working in my life today. Now, I must tell you, I need a new beginning. Traveling across this country right now, we're in a mess. Would you agree that we're in a mess? You know what everybody needs? I'm going to tell you what everybody in the room needs today. Nope, not just everybody in the room. Everybody in the world needs today. They need a new beginning that is only found in Jesus Christ. How many of you could use a new beginning in some area of your life, a fresh start? Would you raise your hand? How many of you know somebody that could use a new beginning right now? All right, watch this. You don't get a new beginning by wishing for a new beginning. You get a new beginning by coming to know the God of new beginnings. You see, sin always leads you to a dead end. The world, go ahead, follow the world all you want to. Follow men all you want to. I'll tell you what men will do. They will always lead you to the end of something. They always lead you to a wall. God never leads you to a wall. He leads you to an open door. Watch this. With God, when you come to the end of something, you just step out of that into a new beginning, because our God has no ending. In fact, let me show you something. Go to the end of your Bible just a second. Run to Revelation with me real quick. Then you can tell somebody the preacher preached the whole Bible today, all right? Look at Revelation chapter 1. These are the words of Christ. If you have a red letter edition Bible, Words of Christ in red, you'll see it. Look at Revelation 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking. What's he saying? Oh, everybody listen to Jesus. He says, I am. Remember, that was God's great name in the Old Testament. Well, here he is. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Who are you, Lord? I am Alpha and Omega. What's Alpha and Omega? That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. It'd be like me saying, the grocery store across town is A to Z Grocery. Somebody said, what's A to Z Grocery? And they got everything. Whatever you need, they got it. Hey, fellas, go to A to Z Hardware. Somebody said, A to Z Hardware, I know what that means. It means they stock it all. They carry everything. When Jesus says he's A to Z, you know what he's saying? He is the all-sufficient God. He is A, he is Z, and he is everything in between. Look at the verse again. I am Alpha and Omega, the what, church? Beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Look at verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Keep turning. Come to the last page of your Bible. I mean the very last page. Look at the last page of Scripture. Revelation 22. Listen to Jesus speak in verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What's he saying? He's saying if you need a new beginning, then you don't need something, you need someone, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I didn't come today to give you some formula for a better life or seven steps to success. I came today to point you to the only one who can push the spiritual reset button in your life and who can make all things new again. Do you remember in Psalm 51 when David had sinned? He'd committed adultery. He killed a man. He lied to cover it up. He hit rock bottom. And in Psalm 51, he prays. God brought that prayer to my mind this morning. In fact, this morning in the hotel, I prayed this prayer for myself. David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Did you know that the word David uses under inspiration of the Holy Spirit for create is the same word that was used in Genesis 1 for when God first created the heaven and the earth? It literally means to create something out of nothing. I love it. David comes to God, the king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the wealthy king. He comes to God and says, God, I got nothing. I got nothing to give you but a mess. I've got nothing to give you but my sin. I've got nothing to give you but the consequences that I deserve. But, oh God, if you in your great mercy and power would out of that whole bunch of nothing create something beautiful, I'd be so grateful to God for that. May I say to you today on the authority of the Word of God that the same God who created can make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the same God that gave a beginning can give you a new beginning today. Let me tell you what I'm learning at this stage in life. I'm learning that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Would you like a new beginning? Then we must find it God's way. Now hold Genesis 1 in one hand, John 1 in the other, because we're going to look back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Stay right with me. Let me give you some basic truths about these new beginnings. Number one, let's start with the most basic, obvious thing. First, would you write this down somewhere? A new beginning always comes from the eternal God. In Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, what's the next word? God. Not Adam. Not what man could produce. No, in the beginning, God. Look at John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. You see the capital W? That's deity. This is one of the names for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so immediately we're brought to the person of God. Oh, dear beloved, would you hear me with your heart this morning? You cannot manufacture a fresh start for yourself and your family. You can try to scheme. You can try to strategize. You can try to engineer circumstances. You can manipulate people. But you cannot create your own new beginning. And nobody else can do that for you either. There's only one person that can do it, and that is the God who is outside of time, who sees the end from the beginning, who is the beginning and the end. Only the eternal God can give a new beginning. There's a second truth I want you to write down, and it is this. That new beginnings always come when the Word of God is given. Are you in John 1? Look at verse 1. When I stop, you say the next word. Ready? In the beginning was the... And the was with God and the was God. Three times in one verse, We have one of the names for our Lord, and it is the Word. What is a word? A word is the expression of thought. It's what comes out and tells you what's on the inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You would not know what I was thinking right now unless you were listening to my words. I'm looking at you. I hope you're thinking about what I'm thinking about right now, but you may not be. I could not tell what you're thinking about right now because I'm not listening to your words. Look, God is the invisible God, but Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the express image of our God. Would you like to know God? Then you can only come to know God through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is God's revelation of Himself. That's why people search all their life to know God. But if they miss Jesus, they miss it all. Why? Because Christ is the very Word of the living God. He is the perfect fulfillment, the perfect expression of who God is. Would you like to know what God is thinking? Look at Jesus. Would you like to know what's on God's heart? Then get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Oh, but that's not all. You got Genesis 1 still in your left hand? Everybody look at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right? How did He create it? We preachers get pretty artistic sometimes, don't we? He flung the stars in space. He carved out the rivers with His fingers. Actually, that's not what He did. Did you know the only thing God made with His hands was man? The only thing recorded in Scripture that God formed with His fingers, with His hands, was man. Which I think is a beautiful picture of this, that God created everything, but man was unique and special to Him. And from the beginning, God wanted our life to be in His hands. Is your life in His hands today? Now, how did He create the rest of the world? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 3. And God, what? He just said it. You know how the world was created? By the Word. You talk about power. Somebody said He got it done. No, He just said it and it was done. God just spoke a word, light, boom. There was light. Oh, and it was very good. Everything created in this world by God came through the power of the Word. Watch. And every good thing created in any of our lives is not something we created of ourselves. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Look, if there's any good in any of us, it must be Jesus, because it sure isn't us. And so how does God produce good in a life, good in a family, good in a church, good in a nation, good in a community? The answer is very simple. He does it through His Word. In Genesis 1, it was the spoken Word of God. In John 1, it was the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus. And today, look please, it is the written Word of the living God. You want a new beginning? You're not going to get a new beginning apart from the truth of the Word of God. I hear people say, I wish I could start over, preacher, but they never open a Bible. I wish I could get a new beginning, preacher, but they never give God the opportunity to speak to them. You say you want a new beginning? There's only one way. You must come to know the eternal God. Everything ends but Him. Everyone has an end but Him. Let me tell you who you're listening to. Your pastor was kind. He's my friend. I love him. I thank God for him. He introduced me as an evangelist. Let me tell you what I really am. I'm a peon. That's what I am. By the way, I'm preaching to a bunch of peons this morning too. You say, that's not nice, preacher. That's just the truth. We're all just a speck of lint on the page of human history. We're just a dot on a map somewhere. And yet, watch this, please. We are nothing, but God is everything. We are finite, but God is infinite. There is a limit to you, but there is no limit to Him. You want a new beginning? Then you need the eternal God. And the only way to know the eternal God is through the eternal Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven. Look, everything in our country is changing right now. Have you noticed? Anybody noticed? Everything in our world seems to be changing. But I'm going to tell you something that never changes. The Word of God never changes. And if you want a new beginning, you've got to go back to the Word. Let me give you a third truth. Would you write it down somewhere? The new beginning is not only knowing the eternal God and comes as the Word of God is given, but number three, I want you to know that new beginnings come in the darkest moments. I love that. In the darkest moments. In fact, you're still in Genesis 1. Just look at it just a second. When did God begin His creative work? What did it look like? You ever wonder what it looked like before He spoke? Well, look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That sounds tremendously encouraging, doesn't it? Imagine just a moment. There's no order. It's chaos. There's no fullness. It's emptiness. And there's no light. It's all darkness. Doesn't that sound like a nice place to live? And it was in that moment God just spoke a word. Light. And immediately, order came out of chaos. Fullness came out of emptiness. Light came out of darkness. People say to me, "Preacher, aren't you troubled about what's going on?" Oh, yes, I'm troubled. "Aren't you grieved?" Oh, yes, I'm grieved. Well, don't you think the good days are behind us? No, I don't believe that at all. I'm not hopeless this morning. I'm going to tell you why I'm not hopeless. Because my hope is not in a government. My hope is not in medical personnel. My hope is not in what I can produce. My hope is not in man. My hope is not in circumstances. My hope is in the fact that in the worst times in history, God has done His greatest work. Look at John 1. See the parallel? The Bible says in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in" what? "Darkness." In the midst of spiritual darkness, Jesus stepped onto the page of human history. That's powerful, isn't it? In the worst time, pardon me, when Caesar was at his worst, when Rome was at its worst, when the world was at its worst, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hallelujah. Jesus doesn't wait till we fix it or figure it out. He steps right in the middle of our mess. And I'll tell you why He does it, because He's the only one who can change it. And when He does it, only He gets the glory for it. You need a new beginning? You need God. You need a new beginning? You need the Word of God. You need a new beginning? You need to believe that in the midst of darkness, God can bring light. Here's a fourth truth. Would you write down somewhere that new beginnings always come by the work of the Holy Spirit? We've talked about the Father. We've talked about the Son. What about the Holy Spirit of God? Look, I know, I get it. We're in a mess. But the Holy Spirit has not departed this planet. The Holy Ghost is still at work in this world. Everybody look at Genesis 1. People think the Holy Spirit showed up on the day of Pentecost. Friend, He is eternal God, co-equal and co-existent with the Father and the Son. He's always been. And the first time you find the Holy Spirit, it's not in the New Testament. It's in Genesis 1. Look at the end of verse 2. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And, oh, thank God for the conjunction. Sorry, kids, to use a dirty word like conjunction on Sunday. It says back to school Sunday, though, right? The conjunction is a revelation. Yes, the first is true, but the second is also true. Yes, the world is bad, but God is greater than he that's in the world. Yes, sin abounds, but grace does much more abound. Look at it. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The word "move" there literally means to hover, to brood, like a bird with wings flying over, checking it out and making it happen. The Holy Spirit was on the move. I like this. You know, there's a lot of passive people in this world today. I'm going to tell you about God. God is not passive. God is active. And every time you see God in the Bible, God's on the move. Listen to me, church. God is on the move in our generation. We're going to have to decide whether we're going to let Him move or not. Whether we're going to let Him do what He wants to do in us or not. The Holy Spirit of God was at work in Genesis 1. Now go to John 1. Oh, I love this. We read the first 5 verses, but come on down. Somebody said, "Where's the Holy Spirit in John 1? Well, keep reading. Come down to verse number 32. Jesus is standing in the muddy waters of the Jordan River being baptized of John the Baptist. John 1, verse 32. "And John bare record saying, I saw," what did he see? "The Spirit," mark that in your Bible, "the Spirit descending from heaven," and don't miss this, "like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." Now hold up just a second. Everybody remember Genesis 1? The Holy Spirit was doing what? He was moving. What's that mean? To brood. To hover, like the divine flyover, all right? When we're introduced to the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1, what form does He come in? In the form of a dove descending from heaven and lighting on Jesus. I don't know about you. I sure am glad that the Holy Spirit landed on this earth. Aren't you glad for that? that he came to us and that he has not forsaken us. And look at the beautiful divine symbolism of the dove. What does the dove picture? The dove is a picture of purity. Listen, friends, in a filthy world, in a disgusting age, surrounded by so much corruption, there is a God who is pure and holy, undefiled and separate from sinners. The Holy Spirit brings purity into an unclean world. And what is the dove? A picture of peace. Oh, what conflict we have around the globe at this moment. There are believers being martyred for their faith. There are nations crumbling. There are military armies advancing. There are people trying to figure out what to do next. I want you to know there's only one true and lasting peace in a world of conflict, and that is the peace that the Holy Spirit of God brings into a life when he brings a new beginning. You want a new beginning? Then you need the Holy Spirit to work in you. There's one more truth I want to give you. Go back with me to Genesis for just a moment. One more time, let's visit our text. Genesis, we know, of course, is the story of creation. In chapter 2, the story of creation. Come over with me to Genesis 3. Because we move beyond the creation to the Christ. In Genesis 3, verse 15, here's the first promise of Messiah in the whole Bible. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, you ought to circle Genesis 3:15. It's the first promise in the whole Bible that Jesus was going to come. Look at Genesis 3:15. God said to Satan, to the devil, to that old serpent, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That's Jesus, the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Son of God that was to come, the Deliverer. And I love this promise. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. How many of you ever had a heel bruise? I'm just curious. You ever had a heel bruise? Is it painful? It is painful. My wife's had a little heel bruise the last few days, and I watched her doing this a little bit, just at least getting it warmed up. It's painful. But let me ask you a question. Is a heel bruise life-threatening, yes or no? Now, last time I checked, you're going to live through it. It might hurt, but you're going to make it, all right? It's going to get better. But how about a head wound? Can a head wound be fatal? Yes or no? Oh, yes, it can. God looked at Satan, looked at that old serpent, and said, you're going to bruise the heel of the Son of God. When he comes, you're going to strike at him like you've been striking a man here in the garden. You're going to wound him. By the way, that happened at Calvary. But God said, he's going to turn around and put his foot squarely on your head. You're going to wound his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Listen to me. 3 days after Jesus was crucified, he came out of that grave alive forevermore with the keys to death, hell, and the grave in his hand, and his foot, thank God, on the head of that old serpent, the devil. I tell you today, new beginnings are always found in Jesus Christ. Go back to John chapter 1, because John 1 is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. In fact, mark some words. In verse 1, would you mark the word, word? That's the first time we see Jesus. He's the Word. And then if you come down to verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, he's the light. Everybody see light? It's capitalized too, because it's a person. It's Jesus. It's our God. And then come over to verse number 29. He's the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Probably somebody in this room thinks you've just blown it so bad, God could never forgive you, could never take your sin away. Can I just tell you that the Lamb of God is the perfect, forever, full sacrifice for sin, and if he's great enough to take away the sin of the world, I think he can take care of your sin too. He's the Lamb. And then, come on over, look at verse number 41. He's the Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One, the Deliverer. Every one of these names of Jesus shows us something that we need. As the Word, he is God's revelation. He reveals God to us. As the light, he is God's illumination. He turns the light on. Praise God, in a dark world, he lets a little light in on the subject. As the Lamb, he is God's redemption. His blood paid the price for your sin and for your eternal salvation. Look, he bought and paid for your soul at Calvary. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And as Messiah, we see his intervention. God steps in between as the great deliverer to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. In Genesis 1, we see him as the creator, but Colossians tells us that all things were created by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Why? Watch, please. Because he is not just the creator. Hallelujah. He's the Christ. He's not just the one who set the world into motion. Some people think he like started the world spinning and then left us to ourselves. I'm glad to tell you today, he has not forsaken us. He has not failed us. He has not forgotten us. And he's not about to start today. That the creator is the Christ. And the God of beginnings is the God of new beginnings. And if you need a new beginning today, I'm going to tell you what you need. You don't need me. Sorry, you don't need a preacher. You don't just need this church. It's a wonderful church, but you don't just need a church. No, you need Jesus. I was preaching a few years ago on a Wednesday night outside of Atlanta, Georgia. At the end of the meeting, the pastor said, "Let's go get something to eat," and we went to a local restaurant. We went in. It was late. They were about to close, about 10 or 15 minutes from closing. I always hate to do that to servers. You can see it on their face, you know. And we sat down, and I said to the waitress, she was exhausted. You could see it, just tired. She was kind, but exhausted. We were the last people in the place. And I said to her, "I'm so sorry. We're going to be the best customers you've had all day. We're going to tip well. We're going to be nice." She smiled, went to get our drinks, and came back to the table. And I'll never forget it. I can see it right now. She was so tired, she knelt down next to the table. That was providential. She just knelt down next to the table to take our order. My friend said something to her about the fact that we were preachers or we'd been in a church service or something, turned the conversation toward spiritual things. And I said to her, I don't know that I'd ever ask anybody this question before. I said to her, "You ever think you'd like a new start in life?" I was not prepared for a response. She started weeping, sobbing. She finally gained her composure. I didn't mean to make her cry. When she finally gained her composure, she said, "Sir, I don't know who you are. You don't know me," she said, "but my little boy and I, we just moved to this city." And she said, "I just got this job." And she said, "The whole reason we moved here, the whole reason we came was we just needed a new start somewhere." She said, "We've been looking for a new start." I said to her, Did you know that there was a woman in the Bible just exactly like you who was having a hard time? And Jesus met her one day. He was pretty tired when he met her, but he told her all about how she could have a new start. She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, and just a chapter before in the Bible, he met a man who came to him in the middle of the night like this, and he had a lot of questions. He was looking for a new start. Jesus told him how he could have a new start." I said, "That's what Jesus is all about, giving people a new start." She was interested. For the next 7 or 8 minutes, it was my joy and privilege to tell her not about the church where I was preaching, not about the pastor, not about me, just about Jesus. And at the end of that conversation, I'll never forget it, nobody else in the restaurant, that young woman bowed her head, kneeling next to that table, and called on the Lord and was gloriously saved. I wrote a little track soon after that, and on the front of it, somebody said, "What are you going to put on the front of it?" On the front of it, I put a question. It's this little question. It's been years ago now. "Would you like a new start?" And I carry them with me, and I found it's quite a conversation starter because I've discovered something about everybody's looking for a new start, a new beginning in some way. A few months ago, I was on an airplane seated next to a businessman, and from the time I sat down, he was working on things, and he had his headphones, noise-canceling headphones on, and he was not really interested in conversation. And we took the whole flight. He drank all the way to our destination and worked and paid me no mind. And I thought, I'd love to speak to that man about his soul. I'd love to speak to that man about the Lord. And finally I thought, well, you know, he might not talk to me, but at least I could give him one of these. At least I could do that. And I took one of these out of my pocket, and I just handed it across, just offered it to him. And when he saw it, he stopped what he was doing. He took it, he looked at it for a second, he ripped his headphones off, he turned to me, and he held it up, and he said, "This is what I've been looking for." I hadn't even opened it yet. I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I don't really know what this is about," he said, "but I'm just going to tell you." He said, "You know, I'm a businessman," and he said, "I've got a lot of money and houses and lots of stuff." He said, "but something's missing in my life." I said, "Well, that's all about knowing Jesus." His face lit up. He said, "When I was a boy," he said, "I went to a Baptist church." He said, "they used to talk a lot about Jesus." And he said, I grew up and got away from all of that. And he said, I have everything else. But he said, I need this, sir. I need a new start. And I don't know what it is you need today, but I do know what it is you need today. Because everybody in this room, everybody listening to me online, everybody you're going to meet this week needs one thing. They all need Jesus. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with him at all. You need a relationship with Christ today. Maybe you've been saved, but you've been away from God. I'm going to tell you what God's doing in your life. The Holy Spirit's hovering over you right now, and the Word of God came to you today because Jesus wants you to be near to him again. Or maybe you're a dedicated Christian, and you've been just going through the motions, and you've gotten cold and indifferent, and you've gotten pretty worked up about what's going on in the world around you. I'm going to tell you what you need. You need a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ, because only Jesus can bring the new beginning. Our Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, the truth. And I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit who works in us and on us to draw us to yourself. Oh God, do that now. Our heads are bowed all over the building. We sit quietly, prayerfully, without any music, in the stillness of this moment. No one is looking but this preacher. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm not in the business of embarrassing people. I'm not into that. And I would like to pray for you. I'd like to know how to pray for you. Would you be an honest person? How many people in this room today can honestly say, not I think I'm saved, I hope I'm going to heaven? No. How many people in this room today can honestly say, preacher, if I died right now, or if Jesus came today, I am certain, I am 100% sure that my sins have been forgiven and Jesus is my Savior. I have repented of my sin. I have put my faith in Christ. I know I'm ready to meet God. I know I'm saved. That is sure. I'd like you to lift your hand high in the air with mine right now and keep it up as high as you can. With your hand raised to heaven, would you thank the Lord for that right now? Because if it wasn't for Jesus, you couldn't say that. Would you just say to him, thank you for saving me? Oh God, thank you for not letting me go to hell like I deserve. I'm so glad to be a Christian today. Thank you, Jesus. You may lower your hands. I must ask this question. I don't assume that everybody in the place has that kind of personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. Would you be honest right now, dear one? God already knows. He already knows. It's dangerous to lie to a God who knows everything. Who among us would say, Brother Scott, if I died right now or Jesus came today, I am not 100% sure of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not certain that my sins have been forgiven, that heaven's where I'm going, but I know this much, I don't want to go to hell. Brother Scott, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'm sure I don't want to be lost. Please pray for me. I'd like you to raise your hand in the air with mine long enough for me to see it. God bless you, dear one. Who else? Raise it up big and high. I'm not sure I'm saved. Thank you. I'm not sure I'm saved. If you just raised your hand, would you look at me just a moment? I want to tell you something. God loves you. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died for you? And that he rose from the dead. I want you to know he died for your sins and he rose from the dead so you could have your sins forgiven and have eternal life. And he wants to save you now. I want to give you a verse. The Bible says if you believe that in your heart and you'll confess that with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. When I say confess with your mouth, maybe you think I mean by that stand and give a speech. That's not what I'm talking about. In the same chapter, he tells us what it means. He says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody, anytime, anywhere that would be willing to call on God and say, Lord, I can't save myself, save me. God will hear that prayer. He'll answer that prayer and he'll save you for Jesus' sake. I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning right where you are to call on the Lord and be saved. In the early service, we had a number of people who came to faith in Jesus, but oh, I can't think of anything worse than this meeting coming and going and you leaving without Christ. And I can't think of anything any better than you leaving here today knowing Jesus is your Savior and you belong to Him. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to settle it once and for all? And would you be willing today to pray right where you are to God? You're not talking to me. I can't save you. You're talking to God and God is listening. Would you pray right now from your heart to the Lord something like this? Right now, dear God. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. No one else can save me. But I do believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose from the dead. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Give me eternal life. I trust You, Lord Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. Thank You for saving me. Now help me to follow You all the days of my life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking but this preacher. May I ask? The Bible says if you believe on Christ, you won't be ashamed of it. I know that's true. Because when you know Jesus, it's the most wonderful thing on earth. May I ask, who among us today would say, preacher, I prayed that simple prayer from my heart to God or something like it, and I meant it, and right where I'm sitting this morning, I am trusting Jesus Christ once and for all to be my personal Savior. I'm getting that settled today. I'm not embarrassed to tell you that. I want you to raise your hand in the air with mine right now. You say, I called on the Lord. God bless you. And I ask the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. If you just raised your hand, would you look at me right now? Would you just look me in the eye for a moment? I want to congratulate you. The greatest decision you ever made in your life. Others are going to come and pray in a moment. I don't want you to get lost in the shuffle. I'd like somebody to sit down and show you from the Bible what it means to be a true follower of Jesus and have a prayer with you. We won't keep you long, but I want to encourage you. I want to congratulate you. I'm going to ask the pastor if he'll come stand right here with his Bible. And here's what I'm going to do. We won't make you give a speech. We won't embarrass you. But if today you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're not ashamed of it, I'm going to ask you right now if you'll get out of your seat and come shake this pastor's hand. Would you come right now? God bless you. Who else? You say, I'm settling today the matter of my soul's salvation. I want to let somebody know about it. Maybe you need to be saved. Do you need to be saved, dear one? Come to Jesus now. Let someone have a prayer with you. If you're a lady, there are ladies here to talk with you. If you're a man, there are men here who can pray with you and talk with you. Oh, come to Jesus. Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means if you come to Jesus, He'll come to you. Perhaps you have questions and you need to talk to someone. Let us answer those questions from the Bible. Would you come? Anyone else? You say, I need to be saved. Would you come and let someone show you from the Bible how to have your sins forgiven? We want to help you. Don't you leave without Jesus today. He wants to save you. Perhaps there's someone here today that's been saved and you've never been baptized and you want to follow Christ in baptism. Or you want to join this church. You're not a member and you say, I really want to do that. Why don't you get out of your seat now? Come greet this pastor and say, this is what God's doing in my life and let us help you. And let someone counsel with you and encourage you. And while we're praying with people, I have two or three questions for all the Christians in the room, for every believer. First of all, how many believers in the place today would say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but there's some things in my life that aren't what they ought to be. My fellowship with God is not what it used to be. I need a new beginning personally. I need to rededicate my life to Christ. I've been a little wayward, at least in my heart. Maybe nobody knows but God, but I've been away from where I need to be, and I need a fresh start as a Christian. Brother Scott, that's me. The Holy Spirit's convicting me. Pray for me. I want you to raise your hand in the air with mine right now. Would you please? God bless you. Yes, I see you. God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to ask every one of you that just raised your hand in a moment, when others come to pray, I'm going to ask you to be the first people out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to lead the charge to find a place in this altar and tell God what you just told me. Here's a second question. How many Christians in the room today would say, preacher, I'm trying to live for the Lord. But in this difficult time, in this season that we're living through, I need a new beginning. I need a fresh start of hope and faith, a fresh experience of the grace of God, a fresh dose of the Lord's joy. Maybe you need a fresh beginning, a new start in your home with your family. And you say, preacher, today, I want today, this day, to be a mark in my Christian experience. I want a fresh start with the Lord today as a follower of Jesus. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand big and high in the air with mine right now? Amen. I want you to bring that to God in just a moment. And then one final question. How many of you in this room today would say, preacher, I know someone that's either lost, they've never been saved, or they're a Christian, but they're away from God, a family that's hurting, somebody having a hard time that needs a new beginning. Preacher, what you preached about today, I've got somebody's name and face in my mind, somebody that needs God to do something out of the ordinary in their life, and I'm praying for them today. Help me pray for them. Would you raise your hand to God right now? You say, I've got somebody like that. God bless you. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close the meeting today, not with me preaching to you, but all of us pray. In a moment, I'm going to begin a prayer, and I'm not going to say amen, because I'm not ending the prayer, I'm just starting it. When I finish my part of the prayer, I'm going to point to the piano. And when I do, the pianist is going to begin to play. And when they begin to play, I'm going to ask every one of you that are physically able, that know God has spoken to you today, either about your own need or the need of someone you know and love, I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to leave your place and come join me in this old-fashioned altar. And we're going to gather in this altar today, and we're going to pray that God will give a new beginning to you and to those you love, that God will give a fresh start through His grace as only He can. Oh, may God make this a day of new beginnings. Would you stand with me all around as we begin this prayer? Our Father, in Jesus' name, the name above every name, I pray, may the Holy Spirit hover over us now and do His deep work in our hearts. May the Word go deeply into our souls. May Christ be lifted up in such a way that all of us find this day the grace we need to move forward. I pray for friends all over this auditorium who need a fresh start themselves today. May they bring themselves to God. And I pray for so many who are burdened for someone they know and love, that this day they'll bring that person to the altar, call their name to God, and the God of new beginnings will be at work. And I thank you and praise you for it. For Jesus' sake.